There it is. Woo.
Pips, how are you, sir?
Good, old boy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fine. I'm down here in Tufty's Lodge. I just left the bar and hanging around with several successful hunters and getting back here where it's quiet.
I love it. Was everybody successful today?
Let's see here. I think all but one. Our buddy Pete Simmons didn't have any luck today. Pete Simmons from South Carolina, but I think he's, he's probably had about 12 hunters now, and I think it's 11 for 12, but there's still two more days. So they will get one. Oh, yeah, they always do fine, so especially. They usually bat 1,000 down here every year.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Boozer
got good on the wild turkey report tonight.
He did what?
He got me good on the wild turkey report tonight. Is this being recorded right now for the podcast?
So politically correct. The recording is going, but the final edit is not done.
Okay.
Get him. Welcome, folks. Y'all come on in and make yourself at home. This here? Well, this is the Rolling Thunder Podcast, your home for all things Rolling Thunder. This episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast is presented by Mossy Oak Camouflage, because everything is better in bottomland. And Lucky Duck Premium Decoys, masters of deception.
You know, here at Mossy Oak, our passion for turkey hunting has been in our blood for a long, long time. And that deep-seated passion watered the roots for our very first camouflage over 30 years ago. And that passion is still growing today with our National Wild Turkey Federation Obsession Pattern, which in our opinion is as close as you can get to disappearing in the spring woods. Mossy Oak Obsession, the official camouflage of the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast. We are live from Feathers Chapel on the back porch, and we've got a whole host of trying to think of what adjective to use.
Characters.
Characters is a good word. Yeah. I was going to start to say beautiful, and then that's not right. And then
some of us.
Yeah. So I am joined by Rob Kinney.
Hello.
And Dr. Ben Kinney, whose microphone's been muted, I guess.
Hi, guys.
A straggler vagabond that we found on the side of the interstate on I-40, Austin Stapleton.
Always resident, a straggler.
Resident hippie, and the amazing, well-traveled Jason Hart from Marilena, a.k.a. Nomad Outdoor. Good evening, Mr. Hart.
Good evening. I don't know if amazing is a good description, but I guess I'll take it. It's I've been called some of my worst attributes amazing, but I guess I'll take it tonight.
What part of the world are you sitting in right now?
Well, tonight I am in South Florida, which I try to make this my home during this time of year for at least a few days. And I think I may be on my last night here tonight because I got to get back to work. But yeah, I've been down here chasing the elusive Osceola wild turkey over the weekend. And fortunately I got lucky this weekend and caught up with one, and my hunt is over. And now I'm just doing, regular work from down here at my buddy's lodge, which is Osceola Outdoors in Lake Fort,
awesome,
Florida.
Awesome. And that's that's Mike Tussey, right?
Yeah, it's Mike Tussey's operation. He bought a new lodge here a couple years ago, but he's always been out of here. And I've been coming down here to hunt with him since 2006, and it is absolutely my favorite place to turkey hunt in the country. He's right on the northwest shores of Lake Okeechobee here. Okay. And it just rocks down here this time of year. And he's got a camp full of successful hunters. And anyhow, they've been hunting hard. Tussie was going to join me today, but his properties he's been hunting, some of the properties he hunts during the southern zone are located down in Immokalee, which is about an hour and a half drive south of here. So they've been leaving out of the lodge about 3:30 a.m. So
they hunted
all day long and came back late this evening. And Tussie was Tussie passed out, and he wasn't in a very talkative mood, I guess. So.
The difference between Immokalee and the northwest shore of Okeechobee is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a ways. It's crazy. I don't know. Their operation down here, you know, I'm speaking from a buddy's operation, but he hunts anywhere between 12 to 15 different ranches. Depending on the year, he leases all of his ranches. He doesn't own any, right. But same base as Lakeport, which is you know, like I said, north side of Lake Okeechobee. But he hunts all the way north of Yeehaw Junction, which is an hour and a half to the northeast when the central zone opens, all the way down to Immokalee, which borders the big Cypress WMA, where it's been getting a lot of folks come down there to public land hunt. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this is a good part of the world. And right now, it seems like a lot of folks that make their living in the hunting industry and a lot of folks that are hardcore, passionate, crazy turkey hunters, which is definitely myself, end up migrating down here this first week. And it's been pretty spectacular. I got to hunt on three different properties with I guess three different people that were hunting, including myself. And we all got lucky. And I heard some good gobbling. I heard my first gobble of the season on Saturday morning, which obviously recharges the soul. And
no doubt.
Yeah, man. That's time awesome. Is here.
That's great. So this is the first year that I've not done Florida in a while. I think I had a good solid 6-7 year run. And I laid out this year because Mississippi Youth was on Monday. And I didn't think I had time to get to Big Cypress and back by Monday morning and give Trip a fair shot. So I missed that tremendously because, like you said, it's a cool time of year down there because it's the only place in the continental U.S. that's open right now. And for adults. And so everybody that's really kind of fired up, passionate, committed, willing to travel.
There.
Yes. Because the only thing that stands between you and South Florida is fuel and time.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's pretty neat that all the people that end up down kind of in that part of the world. And it's basically orange groves, migrant farmers, retired snowbirds, and turkey hunters right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know what's crazy? I've been coming down here since 06, and I absolutely love it down here. And a few years ago, we also have our brand with Marilina Outdoors. We've got our hook brand, our fishing brand.
Right.
And in summertime in July, we've got this big trade show called ICAST, which is all of the whole fishing industry shows up in Orlando. And you know, Mike Tussie helps us out on the hook side a little bit, too. And he's like, man, y'all come on down to the lodge. And at that time, a couple years ago, I said, you know what, I'm going to see some of our independent hook dealers in South Florida and Lakeport, the dead center of north side of Lake Okeechobee, is a really good location for me to hit both the west coast of Florida and the eastern side of Florida, both the Atlantic and the Gulf side. So I worked out of here for a week. And, you know, at one time I loved it down here so much I considered buying maybe like a little chunk of land and a little tiny house and moving down here. And then when I came down here and it was the middle of the summertime and none of my turkey hunting friends were down here.
A little different.
Yeah. I ended up going to like the Walmart in Okeechobee just to walk around and people watch to keep myself entertained. It's pretty lonely, but you know, I'm in my early 40s and I was by far the youngest person by about 30 years anywhere that I ran around. So.
That's kind of, I mean, I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for saying this, but that's kind of the way Northeast Arkansas is in like June and July. It is very appealing in November and December when there's ducks in the trees and shallow water. Yeah. But man, I'd say
the whole state of Arkansas.
you're a little more blunt than I am, but yeah, it's the same way. It's such a romantic tag in your mind, and then you go during the off season, it's kind of like, whoa, what was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not exactly. South Carolina.
No, it isn't. I'm fortunate to live in a pretty cool place, but you know, like you think, the grass is always greener, and
that's right.
It's a pretty cool place when I got like 20 or 30 turkey hunting buddies that are all down here, and you end up going to the same restaurant, and it was like, oh my gosh, like we're in a restaurant yesterday, and like in walks David Blanton from Realtree. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, so you see it this time of year, it's like, you know, everybody that's serious about turkey hunting loves to come down here. But it's a cool part. I love it down here this time of year. And I got fortunate enough to get invited back. So. something.
That's awesome. So I guess the relatively obvious thing, the reason that we've got you on tonight, is you guys at Nomad have been incredibly kind to us at Rolling Thunder and our affiliated projects to provide us with turkey hunting clothes this year. And
that's
a big deal for y'all. Not Rolling Thunder, but I mean, turkey clothing is a big part of y'all's business, right? I mean, y'all kind of.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. It is. And, you know, our relationship goes back a few years just through a bunch of mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
Between our friends at Mossy Oak, the Hayes brothers, and then, you know, somehow Spence got connected to, it seems like, every duck hunting buddy I had in South Carolina at one connection or another, and everybody's like, y'all need to get Spence on board, da, 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 da. So anyhow, it took a while, but yeah, man, we're stoked to have y'all wearing our stuff this spring, and y'all have absolutely fantastic content, and yeah, man, it's turkey hunting is, we started the Nomad brand, you know, back about, this is about our fifth year in business, and, you know, ultimately, when we started it, we looked at the different hunting markets, and first and foremost was the whitetail market, which, you know, represents the largest, you know, the largest number of license holders in the United States. So
mm-hmm.
when we were looking at investors from our company and knowing we needed to get outside money, obviously numbers make a big deal. So we started on the hunting side, but very selfishly, I convinced my business partners to get in the turkey hunting business right off the bat, just because I like to turkey hunt so much. So I need mm-hmm. an excuse to build product that I wanted for turkey hunting and
product and testing.
And to somehow try to convince my coworkers that me turkey hunting was good. And I've done a pretty good job at that, but typically by the time spring rolls around, especially after the first few weeks of the season when I'm not showing up in the office very much and
yeah.
not answering early morning phone calls, then I obviously feel, and this has happened my complete adult career, obviously by the time about the first or second week of April rolls around, I'm seriously worried about I feel like my job's in jeopardy at many times, but luckily I haven't got fired yet by the end of turkey season, but yeah, I've especially some of my years I was working at Mossy Oak and Under Armour, I definitely had to tiptoe and make lots of dealer calls and very random places like Nebraska and Kansas and Texas that, I'm hanging out with this dealer this afternoon. So
that's awesome. So, all right, I want you to tell us a little bit about the product line and I want to kind of the soft introduction, albeit this might be a little awkward and weird, but I feel like from a clothing standpoint that I'm kind of pretty similar I'm like the prototypical dad bod guy. Like, I feel like more people that turkey hunt or deer hunt are shaped like me than are shaped like, you know, a 5'10", got a six pack of abs and, you know, weigh 155 pounds. Like, I feel like I'm that guy. And I got my Nomad clothes in the mail the other day and they actually fit me. Like, the pants fit. And I that seems so strange to talk about, but like the crotch didn't hang down to my knees and the waist wasn't either too tight or too big. And I've like forever, I've been in between the standard large and the standard XL.
Yeah.
Like I had to choose between, do I want my belly button to, you know, be just completely sandwiched in or do I want to make it where I can't step over a barbed wire fence? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
man, absolutely. Nah, man, I get it. When I was back in college, I matched that first description of the guy with a six-pack abs pretty good, but I sure as hell don't now. That's damn sure. So I feel your pain, but tell you what's crazy about clothing, and every single person on this call and every single person that's listening on this call, and really every single person in the free world that has to be in an area where you pretty much have to wear clothing every day is an expert on clothing and an expert on fit, and people know what they like. And crazy enough, one thing that's interesting about the clothing business, which I've learned in my 20-year career, is that there's no set standard. There's not a dimension that you can – there's not a governing body of clothing that says, all right, a size small is this size, a size medium is this size, a size extra large is this size. Every single brand has different fits. So it – truthfully, when we first came out as a brand with Nomad 5 years ago, there might be listeners out there that said, man, I bought pants and they were too damn tight. And you know what? I agree with him. And that's the same thing. So literally every single pair of pants that we make, we have to have what's called a tech pack, and they have to be fit approved. So we literally, we've got guys in our office that we think is the prototypical large size. And that person, you know, might be 6 foot. He might be 180 pounds, this, that, the other. You know, there's no set standard when it comes to it. So we work really hard, and our product team works really hard. And as soon as we get production in, we wear it, and we're like, you know, I'll go, my product team really, really, hey, I'm one of the co-founders of our company. And in particular, when it comes to hunting product, and especially when it comes to turkey hunting product, our product team absolutely hates me. And they say, if it passes my test, because I will literally tell them this piece sucks, and you have to go to the drawing board, and we're not going to release this year. So, you know, that's what we do. I mean, we wear it. Heck, man, I'm turkey hunting a lot this spring, and I'm going to wear every single piece of clothing we have. And, for example, we had one pant that we had on the turkey side of the business, but we got another really great pant coming out. And they're both really great pants, but one of them is a little bit cheaper to sell, and it's a little bit cheaper for us to make. So our more expensive pant, our product team's like, hey, man, we can make more money on this other pant, and we'll only have one pant in the line, which makes a better financial sense, but I've worn both of them twice, and I'm like, you know what? There's enough room for us to sell both of these because this pant's really good, and I don't mind if we charge extra for this because we have to. So yeah, man, as crazy as it is, every, you know, it comes to clothing more so than maybe, you know, if you're selling something in hard goods or selling anything else, it's really difficult because every single person that buys our product, in my mind, is an expert. Everybody wears clothes, and everybody knows how a shirt's supposed to fit or wants to fit. And, you know, it's crazy. Everybody asks, does this fit true to size? Well, there's really not such a thing. You know, a pair of Carhartt pants are going to fit different than a pair of Levi's jeans. They're going to fit different than a pair of Wrangler jeans. Going to fit different than a pair of Walmart jeans. They're going to fit different than a pair of Gap jeans. Something, you know, everything fits different. So, yeah, man, that's a big part of it. So, but ultimately, we also know that the average age of hunters are – you know, not really your average age of high school football players, which at one time in my career, I worked for a company that was their major demographic, was a high school football player. And you got to realize your average hunter's is typically a little bit older and may not be in the best shape of his life, which I'm a prime example of that.
Have you ever had to have that difficult conversation with one of your prototypical size people? It's like, listen, pal, you're just not a medium anymore. And he's like, no. I'm a medium. That's a little tight. Right. Like, no, walk me through one of those.
I'm gonna be dead honest with you. So, I was doing a Facebook Live last spring, and one of my retail customers came on board, and I was like, hey, if y'all have any suggestions about our apparel, we'd love to hear them. You know, please put your comments down. We take consumer feedback very seriously. I get on the forums. And I get on Facebook pages, and I read about what people think. And a lot of times it gets under my skin, you know, but a lot of people that do that don't know anything. But, yeah, one of our buyers got on there. He's a bigger man, and he said, you know, you really need to make your 2Xs and 3XLs a lot looser because they don't fit true to size. And, you know,
old boy's
more about a 4X or a 5X. I couldn't call him out, but I'm like, damn. Yeah, so we get that all the time, and obviously, you know, there's brands out there. For example, one brand, and I hope I don't get in trouble for calling them out, but Columbia is one brand, and, you know, in the South, the prototypical daily shirt, the shirt you'd go to school and college football games and church is the Columbia, one of the Columbia fishing shirts. And, you know, typically anybody that's post-college age who grows a big fat beer gut says, man, those Columbia shirts fit true to size, and in all reality, they're fit very generously so that when somebody that really should be a 2X buys an XL, he feels good about himself.
Yeah.
And all that is marketing genius right there.
I heard J.P. Morris say one time, our goal is so that Bubba pulls a large off the shelf and goes, look at this, darling. I fit in a large. I've lost some weight.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, pass my condolences along to whoever the prototypical extra large is, because I feel sorry for him and I resemble that comment, but he did well. Moving along, I guess, talk about camouflage. Y'all got some cool stuff going on camouflage.
Man, we do. This spring, we've got several new camouflage patterns coming out this year in both the spring and fall, but I'll I'll just talk about the spring right now. We have a brand new exclusive camouflage pattern in conjunction with our good friends at Mossy Oak. And to my knowledge, we are the first ever turkey licensee for Mossy Oak that has been allowed to have an exclusive pattern. And it's Mossy Oak Shadow Leaf.
Wow.
And Mossy Oak launched their original Shadow Leaf back in 1997. And then they kept that on until about 2003 when their pattern Mossy Oak Obsession came out. But anyhow, mm-hmm. It's a very green pattern, really late season, focuses on late season, and has a lot of greens in it. And you know what? I had several friends, and we relaunched Green Leaf a few years ago and had a lot of success with it. Had a lot of friends talk about it. And you know, we were looking for something new. There's not been a lot of new products in the turkey hunting mm-hmm. market recently, and particularly in apparel, obviously. Y'all's brand is new and hot this spring across retailers all over the country. But from an apparel standpoint, there wasn't a whole lot. So we've been working with Mossy Oak for a couple of years to potentially bring something back, and they finally let us do it. But they had to – the original Shadow Leaf was at the time, back in 1997, Mossy Oak was making their own clothing. And at that mm-hmm. time, cotton was pretty much all you could buy. Mm-hmm. And so – that time when you printed on cotton, it was a process called wet printing,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really have a lot of definition, things like that, which now, you know, this day and age, a lot of your fabrics are made on performance polyesters.
Right.
And that's a different entirely different process called mm-hmm. Using heat transfer paper. So basically Mossy Oak had to completely redesign Shadow Leaf to the get it up to 2021 graphic standard. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't look anything like what the old one looks like, but it is similar. So, yeah, it looks really cool. But for the diehard traditional folks, we're still doing Mossy Oak Original Bottomland. We're doing NWTF's Obsession pattern because we're the official apparel of the National Wild Turkey Federation. And we're also doing Real Tree Timber as well in some styles. So, but yeah, we got a variety. We got pretty much all flavors for folks that want it.
Awesome.
So yeah, man, we're that's a big part, and it's most retailers throughout the country decided to go with Shadow Leaf, and it's new. So you'll be able to find it at pretty much if you got a hunting store that's pretty big carrying turkey hunting apparel. I would say the majority of them in the United States picked it up.
Yeah, and if they don't, go in there and ask them for it. Two or three times.
Absolutely.
Because that still works, doesn't it? In the dealer world, that works.
Believe it or not, it does. It really does. It's crazy. When we started the Hook and Nomad brand, I had I came, myself and three of my business partners came from Under Armour, and one of my, at the time, back in 2014, we were literally, and we're still doing this, going door to door trying to open up dealers with this Hook brand. And I was on a very popular South Carolina hunting forum called FC Ducks. And although the name is FC Ducks, it implies duck hunting, but literally it's fishermen, it's deer hunters, it's turkey hunters, it's the whole gamut on there. And, we sponsored their forum for, I think, $500. And
mm-hmm.
people started asking me questions. Man, I can't find this around this area. I can't find one in Sumter, South Carolina. So literally I had just met with that buyer at a trade show literally the week before, and he told me that he wasn't interested in buying it. So I said, well, feel free to call this store and let them know that you really would like for them to carry it so they
ask
can try
for this guy.
Yeah, so we got a lot of support from that forum, and it took about a week before that guy's like, man, it's been crazy. We've been having people call left and right asking for this stuff. I didn't realize it was popular when I turned you down a week ago. I'm like,
that's so
yeah,
great.
Man, we're popularity. So yeah, that absolutely works. So.
Yo, it does. It absolutely does. I'm living proof, I promise. Well, that the Shadow Leaf is really slick. I got some Shadow Leaf, and I got some regular Bottomland too. And I'm clearly a little partial to the Bottomland, but I think that's more of a nostalgic connection than anything else. But the Shadow Leaf is slick, and I appreciate you saying that about the heat transfer versus the, what was it called, wet printing?
Because wet print. Wet printing is how you get camouflage on cotton.
Yeah.
And you still do to this day, but it just doesn't.
The colors
doesn't have
are different.
The vibrant.
Yep.
Yeah, and another thing, folks love cotton, and you know, we came out with cotton a couple years ago, and crazy enough, and I tell this story, which we hear this a bunch, but, and I see this on a lot of the turkey hunt forums, is like, I don't know why people have white on the inside of the camouflage. Well, back 30 years ago, Mossy Oak, when Soxie developed Bottomland, at that time, he would use a brownish gray color to print Bottomland on, which was the background color. So back then you could, but basically the technology has changed over the years that all the camouflage patterns are a lot more developed. So now you have to pretty much have to print on white cotton to make the pattern come out like it's supposed to look. And unfortunately, anytime you print on white cotton, when you throw that jacket, that hunting pan or that hunting shirt in a washing machine, it fades over time. So truthfully, turkey hunters love cotton because it's quiet, it's durable, and it's soft. But unfortunately, when it comes to camouflage, when you print on cotton, over time it turns white. So we had, this was the first year, for the last 4 years, we printed some of our turkey apparel on cotton, and folks liked it, but we got a lot of complaints about fading, and unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to cotton. So I decided this year that we were not releasing any cotton products, and the number one reason was because of fading. So, it prints on the modern fabrics really, really, really good.
That's incredible. Well, it looks good, and we played the Obsession commercial at the beginning because, in fairness to you guys, that's all we have from our friends at Mossy Oak. Toxie hasn't done a Shadow Branch commercial, but I was listening to that commercial, and I was like, man, we're about to talk about this new pattern. Thank God, exclusive one.
Yeah, we still offer Obsession, and we got plenty for folks to buy it.
That's right.
Please go out there and buy it, and guess what? You can kill just as many turkeys wearing that as you can.
That's exactly right. Well, before we move on off clothing, because I wanted to get you to tell just a little bit about your spring and what your plans are, because I know you got some big plans. But tell us just a little bit about a couple of vests, because y'all have kind of changed the game again in the vest. I mean, you guys are making some pretty kick-ass turkey vests.
We did. We got three turkey vests in our line, two of them which are new. And I'm going to talk about the first turkey vest we launched 3 years ago. It's called the MG Turkey Vest. And I'm a former wildlife biologist. I majored in wildlife biology in Clemson, and I'm very much a turkey nerd. So I was trying to come up with a cool name for turkey vest. So I named it the Latin word for the wild turkey, which is Meleagris gallopavo. So I called it the MG Turkey Vest. And honestly, that turkey vest, we looked at a lot of inspiration.
Will you say that one more time for us? That was so robust and well spoken. Yeah.
I mean, Meleagris gallopavo.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a wildlife biology major and go to school worth your salt, you got to learn that or you're going to fail a damn test. It got ingrained in my head. Unfortunately, I don't remember the scientific word for the Latin term for pretty much most other animals, but for some reason I remember the wild turkey.
That one stuck.
I hear you.
We came up with this MG vest. We spent a lot of time on it 3 years ago. And honestly, I got inspiration from a turkey vest that Mossy Oak Apparel built back in 2007, a limited edition vest called the Bob Dixon vest. And truthfully, back in 1997, Mossy Oak Apparel, which was owned by Russell Athletic at the time, they did that turkey vest as a fundraiser in the memory of former Mossy Oak Vice President Bob Dixon that passed away from cancer. Anyhow, they spent an awful lot of time on this turkey vest. That turkey vest is so cool. It's incredible. But honestly, they lost money building that thing. There was so much in that vest that retailed at the time back in 2007 for $169, which was unheard of at the time.
Gosh.
And they pretty much were selling it to retailers for like $100, and they were losing money on it at that. So anyhow, they built this great vest, and everybody's like, wow, they only make 1,986 of them. And crazy enough, one of those sold on eBay today for over $2,000.
Isn't that crazy? We were texting about that earlier.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. So, but anyhow, that vest, we took a lot of the inspiration from that, but I wanted to make it lighter than that vest, and, you know, we had to use different fabrics just to keep the cost down so that we could make it affordable at $120, $130 for folks to afford. that vest is fantastic. And it sold out every year for us for 3 years. But, like I said, we listen to a lot of consumers, and I listen to a lot of turkey hunters. I mean, myself, I've turkey hunted in every state, turkey hunted in Mexico, I've turkey hunted in Canada, and we've got five people that worked on that turkey vest. And all of us are very passionate turkey hunters with like 100 years of experience. So, ultimately, we took a lot of insight, and we took a lot of constructive criticism, and a lot of questions on that vest. Like, people would get online, they're like, we want a long box pocket. There's no place to put a hydration bladder. There's no place. I don't like the way the strikers are built. I'm left-handed. It doesn't work for me. So we took all that, and we pretty much went back to rebuilding that MG turkey vest, and we put a stadium fold-down seat in it, and we built a turkey vest this year called the Killing Time Turkey Vest, which we're calling KT for short. And we put every bell and whistle in that turkey vest. And as I'm sitting here talking to y'all in Florida, I've got the one I hunted in this weekend here on the wall, and I'm looking at it. And we just put a bunch of thought into it, and we got some crazy thought. Like last year, my buddy Mike Cussey here at Osceola Outdoors, we were walking, and we had about a two-mile walk one morning to where we were hunting. We had a long walk, and we could take a truck too, and we were carrying our turkey decoys, carrying decoy bags, which are sold, and we got our guns over the shoulder, and we were like, man, it'd be great if these turkey decoy bags, if you could attach them to your vest somehow so they wouldn't fall off.
Right.
So we literally came up with a design. We had one of our designers that worked with some tent companies that came up with an idea to put on there that we worked. And then, you know, we had another guy tell me, man, I can't put a long box in the box call pocket. I want a long, so we're the first folks to put an actual long box call pocket. I took a Steve Mann long box call and took the dimensions and gave that to our product designers. And then Pete Angle, our chief marketing officer, loves turkey hunting in the Midwest, and he would rather morel mushroom hunt than turkey hunt. He's like, I want a morel mushroom bag on the thing. So sure enough, we put a damn removable morel mushroom bag on the back of the turkey vest, which has never been done. So,
that's a big deal in the Midwest. Yep. Like,
oh, absolutely. In states like Wisconsin and Illinois. And
even Missouri. I mean.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
I didn't know anything about that. And Dylan started asking me that when he moved here. He was like, y'all got any of them mushrooms around here? I was like, well.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's just crazy. Last spring,
East Tennessee's full of them.
Oh, yeah. One week, man. Last year when I was selling the turkey vest in, I went to Midway USA one day. And when I showed that morel mushroom bag, they're like, oh my gosh, we can't believe somebody put a morel mushroom bag. And then the next week, I was down in Alabama selling that turkey vest. People are like, what the hell's a morel mushroom? I'm like, well, actually, it also makes a great toilet paper holder down there, too. Or
picking up cans on the side of the road when you're on parole.
Exactly. Or if you happen to end up shooting one and you just want to put them in a Ziploc bag before you get out of there, it'll work for the outlaws out there, too. So there's definitely a lot of uses. But anyhow, we put a lot of thought into that. And then finally, we wanted to come up with a price point turkey vest. And more of a run-and-gun style. This thing, that KT I was just talking about, it's got every bell and whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already reading comments like, that's too much. Who carries that much stuff in the woods? So we made a minimalist vest that we're calling the Pursuit Convertible, which basically it's got one pocket for a box call with a chalk holder and your locator calls. It's got a thermocell pocket, a water bottle pocket. It's got a drop-down seat. It's got a pocket for some shells, for your face mask, for a couple strikers. And that's it. And then it's got like almost a Western backpack dry bag, which will go over top, which for folks that want to tote their turkey out in a bag, which personally I throw mine over my shoulder, but if you don't put a game bag in your turkey vest, crazy enough, you're not going to sell any anywhere in the country. But we developed all that, and, you know, we've got that one coming in at $100. So we've got a minimalist run and gun for folks that want to be lightweight or hot weather. We've got our medium MG, which has just been a proven seller that's worked great all over the world turkey hunting, and then this new KT, which is just another level. And anyhow, with that being said, I'm already in the works to build our fourth turkey vest, which will maybe be coming out in 2022. We might hold it back for 2023, which is just going to be an all-new concept that has never been seen on the market, which is going to be another level. So we are, constantly innovating, and it's tough in the turkey market because – it's really tough to come up with stuff that hadn't been mm-hmm. designed. And
yep.
literally every day I try to think of stuff that will help a turkey hunter. We're not trying to come up with gimmicky stuff.
Yep.
We're trying to come up with stuff that's legit, that works. So
turkey hunters are also, as consumers, are not kind of techie gear nerds like waterfowl hunters are.
Not as much. There's a lot of, you know what, there's a lot of traditional,
right.
I don't know if traditionalism right. is a word, but it might be a word. It's a word now, a lot of traditionalism in the turkey world, whereas folks like the old camo pattern.
Right.
Folks like wearing cotton and chamois. Folks yeah. like shooting, a 30-year-old mm-hmm. Remington 870 and using, you know, 30-year-old box calls. So there is. But, you know, there's still folks out there. Yeah. You're still, you know, folks that are new to the sport need to buy something. And so yeah. that's what we're trying to do is really be the best brand when it comes to turkey hunting apparel. And we're obviously going to get it. We're getting into multiple other categories as well. But ultimately mm-hmm. for us, turkey hunting is my number one passion. And as long as I'm here at Nomad and being a part of it and have some say so, I want to build the best stuff that's out there.
Yeah. And I said that because I think I've got a lot of respect and admiration for the way you guys have tried to be innovative but not gimmicky. Because, I mean, shoot, I remember when I first started selling a box call that was $75, there were not very many production box calls that were $75. And you'd have an old man look at you on the table and go, what's that one go for?
Oh, yeah.
You get $75. God almighty, oh, yeah. y'all got the inside of that chamber lined with gold or what? I mean, yeah, you're like,
exactly.
Are you kidding me, old man? Like,
oh,
your
yeah.
grandson just bought an acrylic duck call for $150. Didn't bat an eye.
This is the same guy that gives a kid $20 for like 8 hours of work and like, well, that's $20. That's a lot of money when I was your age.
But it's a different crowd, and y'all have managed to create new stuff and everything from the clothing and the way it fits to vests. And I mean, it's not like many of the other apparel companies out there are trying to be innovative with vests.
People trying to hit a price point, and quite honestly, this turkey vest, I mean, we got a monster brand in Hook Performance Fishing, and you know, Nomad's a big brand too. And you know, we do multi-millions of dollars and we got thousands of individual products. But truthfully, this KT turkey vest is the most technical. It was the hardest for our designers to develop. It has more cut and sew than any single product wow. that we have, flat out. And it's expensive, and mm-hmm. it's funny. I've recently been looking at some of the Facebook forums, and a lot of people are like, $180 for a turkey vest? My gosh, I'll stick to my Super Elite too. And, you know, I don't get on there and reply like I should because I definitely don't want to offend anybody, but I get to thinking, well, man, back in 97, when you bought that Super Elite 2, how much did the truck, how much was a new truck and how much was the, and how much was a tank of gas back then? Unfortunately, it ain't like we're making a killing building this stuff, but yeah, it's sometimes if you want to build good stuff, it costs a lot of money. And obviously we put a lot of features in it, but we're trying not to be too ridiculous. Obviously mm-hmm. there's other categories out there, such as the world y'all come in, the duck hunting market, whereas obviously folks are spending $1,000 on waders right now and mm-hmm. not batting an eye on a $2,000 shotgun. So
right.
that's how it goes. But yeah, man, we're trying to build good stuff and you know, it's and trying to get innovative. And you know, sometimes
you're doing
that's
it,
tricky.
You're doing a good job at it because a lot of the companies that are trying to do that, you're not the only company trying to be innovative. But I guess really the compliment that I was trying to pay you is there's a clear nod to the traditionalism and to the nostalgic flair with your designs. I mean, you can see it in the traditional patterns that you guys make a priority every year. And
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
So I guess what I'm saying is there's a right way to kind of do that, to try to be innovative. And I appreciate the fact that you guys have always gone that route, and that's not an accident. You don't just do that because there's
no, absolutely. And it's kind of crazy. Like for example, selling it, and this is very simple that most folks don't think of, but selling a traditional button-up shirt with a collar on it. Most Southern turkey hunters, and I think it dates back to a lot of folks when turkey hunting hit its peak of popularity, you know, and really started getting popular back in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
back in the mid 90s. All the turkey hunting that you were exposed to were mossy oak you know, Mossy Oak Video and Primo's Video, mm-hmm. and they were all wearing six pocket
pants.
Cargo pants and a button up shirt with a collar on it.
That's right.
And you know what? Most Southern turkey hunters, a lot of Southern turkey hunters will still wear that. But if you go to other parts of the country, like the Midwest and the Northeast or out West, and I can't sell a button up shirt to a hunter. You know, I can sell a crew neck t-shirt, but for that, you know, with all my business partners, you know, and not business partners, but in the turkey world, anytime we're designing folks, it's like, hey, look here, some of our strongest states for turkey hunters are South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi. And guess what? Folks still wear button-up shirts and tuck their shirt in when they go turkey hunting in those states. So little things like that's what we think of. But, you know, with that being said, we're offering that shirt with laser perforation in the back and moisture wicking and coming in weighing at about 2 ounces. So it's super lightweight. It has all the modern attributes of the best technology available in apparel today, but with a more traditional look to it. And we do that because it's, you know, it's crazy as it is. You don't need all this crazy camo to go out and all this crazy stuff, but folks like to be comfortable when they hunt and they like to, you know, look good. It likes to be aesthetically pleasing.
Dang right.
And you know, that's part of it. But ultimately our goal is to fool the turkey's eyes and to perform in the woods. And first and foremost, if it doesn't do that, I'm not going to let it live in our product line.
Well, you guys have done a great job and we're thrilled about working with a company in Nomad that cares about turkey. Every other company we've ever worked with in the past or even talked to, turkey was kind of an afterthought. And it's
no, absolutely.
It's not
You're
been
exactly right.
It's not
and
been.
You know what? I I heard a great quote last fall from a good buddy of mine, and his name is Dr. Brett Collier, and he's a turkey biologist he's a wildlife biologist and a professor at LSU. But he and Dr. Mike Chamberlain from the University of Georgia, the two of those, their name is on probably more turkey research than anybody's right now. He says, you know what? He says the majority of the hunters in the country think about turkeys for about 2 to 3 months out of the year. He goes, I'm trying to get folks to think about turkeys year-round.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I do the exact thing. I'm living, breathing it, trying to come up with new turkey products all year-round. Obviously, he and I have different goals and agendas and think differently, and he's thinking about how to protect the turkey, and I'm thinking about different products to make to chase turkeys, but it's obviously a great quote.
It's very apparent from your product line, and I just want you to know I appreciate that, and we're
likewise.
Shoot,
we're looking forward to y'all wearing our gear, and quite frankly, our product looks a lot better after it's got turkey blood on it.
So. Well, I got a pair of britches in there that toted one out for trip the other day, so there's definitely some blood on those pants. So,
congratulations on that.
Man. Well, the most special ones are the ones you can't plan and don't expect, and they just kind of fall in your lap. And that's definitely what that was. So,
heck yeah.
I guess I'll see you at the Invitational here in a few weeks, right?
Man, absolutely. What a great event that is. And what Spence is talking about is the Low Country Invitational Turkey Hunting Contest, which a good friend of mine by the name of Scott Rhodes and his father organizes at a place called Oak Grove Plantation in South Carolina. And it is an evening of fellowship, a good evening of fellowship, a good evening of food, and a lot of lies getting told. And then the next day, some really good turkey hunting and a little friendly competition amongst a bunch of really good turkey hunters that are mostly from the state of South Carolina, and it's a heck of a good time.
The guest list at this thing, or not guest list, I guess the contest roster or whatever. That is impressive. I mean, it's.
I tell you what, there's a lot of good turkey hunters in South Carolina, and this is there's gonna be a lot of there's gonna be it's not a great day to be a turkey in southwestern South Carolina during that Friday.
And this is kind of like the whole rodeo thing or Calcutta, you want to call it, whatever the various names people use, is kind of a recent advent here, or it's gained popularity, I guess. And this is kind of similar to that. Is that right?
It is. And what it is, it's a charity event.
Okay.
My friend Scott charges for teams. And for years, this event went towards for conservation missions of the Quality Deer Management Association, which
okay.
is combined with the National Deer Association. So the funds are going towards that. And then every year it'll be going towards different conservation-like things. But there's a friendly Calcutta that goes on, which is just like ones that take place at an offshore fishing tournament. And it's very much structured like that. So all it is bragging rights. And it comes down, they have a wildlife biologist that works for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources that actually weighs in the turkeys and checks all the tags and all that other good stuff, does the beard, the spurs, and the body weight. If whoever gets every team of two people are allowed one turkey to check in.
Okay.
And whatever that best turkey is, takes home the Calcutta and a really cool trophy for that year. But it's ultimately, it's about raising money for conservation and fellowship is what it is.
Yeah, basically, Boozer told me what days to be there to bring a checkbook and a credit card and to be prepared to have a good time. That's about all I know.
Oh, yeah. So. It is a heck of a good time.
I don't even know what I'm going to owe.
For the credit cards.
You will have a blast, no doubt.
Exactly. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And we're supposed to – I was texting with Mike Chamberlain earlier today, and he's going to do a – we're going to hopefully get a podcast at some point during that couple days. And I'd love for you to check in with us again.
I got to spend the weekend before last. A couple big names in turkey biology had a little getaway down in South Texas where we did a little hunting and we did a little fishing. And I had known Mike Chamberlain through friends and had texted him and been on messages and things like that. But I got to hang out with a guy, you know, between he and Brett Collier right now, those two are doing more research on the wild turkey than anything's been done in 50 years. And first off, they're absolutely amazing. But, you know, a lot of folks will listen to Dr. Mike Chamberlain. The guy got a PhD in wildlife biology. So he is another level of smart. And honestly, hanging around with him and Brett for a couple of days, I felt, you know, I was questioning my own, I was like, my gosh, man, I feel really dumb around these guys. And I thought I was a turkey nerd. And then I got hanging out with these guys, and they're another level of turkey nerd. And with that being said, Dr. Mike Chamberlain is a hunter and a very legit hunter.
That's what I hear.
And I tell you what, if you ever been in a deer camp, a big deer camp, and you got a guy with skin and shed that's like that alpha male, that everybody just backs away and watches him when he's got a skin and knife in his hand.
That's him.
That's Dr. Mike Chamberlain, man. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like, holy cow, man. He was cleaning critters in record time, and it's like,
God,
yeah,
I'm
backing up. Yeah, man, he's legit. He gets serious when he's hunting. I cut up and I like to have a good time. And man, when he's got a rifle in his hand, it's game time for that guy.
That's awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, and it's going to be a few weeks. But the good news is turkey season's back, and we got Mississippi opening on Monday. When do you guys open? Week after next. South Carolina.
Yeah, man, South Carolina, 22nd, so I'm going to skip over. I got a longtime buddy in Texas that has a lease that I'm going to head there first. Then I'm going to be in South Carolina, hopefully for the opener. I started a tradition with my nephew. He and I hunted together last year on opening day, and we both got birds. So
awesome.
I'll try to convince him to hang out with his old uncle that opening day maybe. And then I'm actually starting to bounce around. I'm going to be bouncing around the country a good bit this spring. So I got some.
All right. Well, where you've got to be getting close to 49 states. Where are you at in the journey? Because I know you've been going at it for a while.
Yeah, man. I have harvested the wild turkey in 47 out of 49 that I've recovered. And I've actually wounded two in the great state of Arizona.
Oh.
And so I'm going back to Arizona, and I did it on the last day of the season last year. I had a red dot malfunction, which caused me to wound a bird. And so I got to go back to Arizona on the 13th. And then as soon as I get done there, I promised two of my friends in Mississippi by the name of Neil Hayes and Daniel Hayes that I would try to finish my 49th state in Mississippi. So I've been
holding off. How cool is that? That's pretty cool.
So yeah, man. So I'll hopefully, knock on wood, I'll have some luck in Arizona, and then I'm prepared to camp out. I'm not going at the best time of year. I'm going the last after the season's been open for a month in Mississippi. But with that being said, I should have 10 or more days if I need it to hunt Mississippi.
Okay.
So, some tells me you're going to find one.
I just can we all just pause and appreciate the true turkey hunter in heart? He's going to Toxie's farm, and he allowed 10 days. You just never know what's going to happen.
He's like, yeah, we might be able to scratch one out.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to his place.
We might have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm actually going to his place. I think we're going to a friend of a friend of theirs place. But with that being said, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about the the dirt that Neil hates and try to put me.
Yeah, I know Neil well enough to know that sucker does not like just taking sunrise pictures. he's the killer in that family, and so he's going to have you something lined up. He's not going to let you leave the state of Mississippi empty-handed. So
I've got business I got meeting requests that are popping up the last 2 weeks of April, and I'm like, decline, I'm on vacation. So
that's great. Well, here's hoping that you guys sell everything you've already built and need more, and here's hoping that you kill on the first morning in Arizona and finish strong in Mississippi and have safe travels this spring, my friend.
Heck yeah, man. Well, hopefully we can meet up somewhere. If I get done in Mississippi early, I might be giving you a holler.
Yeah, give me a call. We're just up the road. We're close enough that I've multiple times driven down there and hunted the poor man's ground on the river from my house, so it's not a bad drive. So
heck yeah. Well, I know Mississippi is crazy. Everybody's like, man, you worked for Mossy Oak for like 5 years. How did you never hunt Mississippi? I'm like, man, I'll be honest with you. Most Mossy Oak employees are pretty serious turkey hunters, and I got lots of deer hunting offers, but and a lot of duck hunting offers, but not many turkey hunting offers came around from Mississippi. So I know how it is, because South Carolina is very much the same. So excited, man. It's a special state that has as much tradition in turkey hunting as anywhere else. So if I can get my last turkey of every state there, it'll be good. And then, man, I will be enjoying to hunt turkeys for what it's all about, which is spending time with friends and family and just enjoying it. So I'm looking forward to getting that quest done so I can get back to the more important things in hunting.
That's awesome. Well, I look forward to talking to you post-quest. I'd like some good reflections upon the romantic journey of 49.
Absolutely. Well, let's make sure and plan that podcast after the hangover ends.
That can be arranged.
Yeah, consider it done. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. And if you haven't already done it, while you're listening to this podcast, jump on the internet and go to nomadoutdoor.com. Look up the new turkey clothes. If it's not in stock on the website, I know for a fact that they've got it in a whole bunch of different retail stores.
Yeah, yeah. We've shipped out to most of our retailers, but there are still some items that are going to be showing up soon. In particular, awesome. A lot of our bottom land. You might look at a product that's not available in bottom land. A lot of the bottom land stuff is coming soon. So, unfortunately, COVID has affected our supply chain a little bit. So
that's okay.
Things are coming up a little bit later, which unfortunately most hunting companies in the hunting industry are having very similar issues. But
I say that because I know for a fact that I was looking for a pair of pants the other day. I liked mine so much that I went back to order my dad a pair. And they were out his size, and I ended up finding them at 601 Sports down there in Mississippi. And so I paid retail because they're worth it.
You know what? There's a couple. Our Stretch Light shirt is my favorite, and it literally we shipped out to retailers, and it got online before I could get mine. So I'm going to be tracking down some of my retailers and paying full retail. I'm the guy that designed the daggum shirt, and I don't even have one for myself yet. So I told my buddies down here in camp, I'm like, that shirt was awesome. I couldn't wait to wear it, but I can't get one.
Good deal.
By the way, 601 is a great retailer of ours.
Yeah, Jason it is.
Martinez, he has built a fantastic retail store there, and I really appreciate them being a good customer of ours.
Yep, no doubt. Well, I hope you safe travels and wish you very well, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank y'all for having me on here, and I'm certainly excited about the Rolling Thunder Nomad partnership going
good.
Forward.
Well, thanks, buddy. Good to talk to you.
See all right, ya. Guys. Y'all take care.
All right, you too.
See, thanks.
See ya. Pretty solid.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you.
I think it's like, awesome he waited for 49 in Mississippi.
That shocks me.
I figured that would have been one of the first ones.
Mind blown.
Seriously.
The
Arizona
part about,
didn't surprise me.
The part about that that's crazy, y'all, is that Mississippi has forever opened on March 15th. Not on the Saturday closest to the 15th, but on the 15th. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday, if it's Mother's Day. It's never Mother's Day. God, I hope my mother's not listening to this episode. Mother's Day's always in
May.
But, I mean, seriously, and so the number of states open March the 15th in the country is
very
really
small.
Slim. I mean, it's like part of Texas, only the south part, South Florida. The north zone in Florida is not even open March the 15th. And past that, I'm not sure. Georgia usually opens March about the 20th, right around there. Alabama opens around the 15th, but some years it's the 15th and some years it's like the 21st. It's never on the 15th. It's always the Saturday after the 15th. So the fact that I guess what I'm saying is, as many miles as hearts traveled, the fact that he's not killed in Mississippi kind of blows my mind.
And it's the whole, like, he knew he was going to do it. Yeah. So he set out and said, I'd like to keep Mississippi
hold
for
this
my
one
last.
Back.
And he did. He did.
Because I know that I'm going to do it in the next couple. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it for,
yeah. And you're
that's
talking about
awesome.
A guy who, like, he's killed as many single-season slams as probably anybody I've ever spoken to. Mm. Okay, he's killed multiple slams with every gauge of shotgun. Like, I mean, he was doing the single season slam thing before it was cool. I mean, he was traveling because it was part of work.
Sure.
But I mean, he was shooting one every year with a 12 gauge, and then it got to be he shot one with a 20 gauge. And he was doing all this sub gauge stuff
before.
Long before anybody was shooting them with TSS. He was just shooting them with lead, you know, but taking a good clean shot, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyways, that's pretty crazy that Mississippi is his last state. And I know it was
for
hard
a number
for him
of
because
reasons.
it was going to be Mississippi. They were going to do this last year. He was supposed to go straight to Mississippi after Arizona. They were going to make a film about it, finish up with Toxie, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen because he didn't recover his bird in Arizona. So he punted on his whole deal to Mississippi so that he could shoot it in Mississippi this year. Like, he punted on – he could have
– that's all.
He could have come
I respect
to Mississippi
that
and
so much.
Shot 48 and then finished in Arizona is what I'm saying.
Yeah, gotcha.
But he said, no, I'm finishing in Mississippi in West Point.
That is a whole new
pretty
form
strong.
Of delayed gratification.
Pretty
oh,
strong.
Gosh, yeah.
So, anyways, I greatly appreciate Nomad, appreciate Hart, Pete Angle, Prescott, all the guys at Nomad. They've been a really, really great asset to us just here in the last – couple months as our relationship has started. They bought a whole pile of turkey calls, and so if you buy one of these new vests, they're actually giving away a 3-pack of turkey calls that they paid full price for.
Sweet.
I mean, they didn't ask for freebies. I appreciate that. They understand that we're all trying to put food on our table and, you know, make a living. So
yeah,
if you're turkey hunting this spring, I would encourage you to go spend some of your hard-earned money with the good folks at Nomad. You'll look good. You'll look sleek. Crotch in your britches not going to hang down to your knees. And
a true to fit extra large.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Look good, feel good, feel good, play good.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's right. All right. Well, on that note, let's wrap her up.
Well, thanks, y'all, for joining us for another episode of the Rolling Thunder podcast.
Catch you soon.
See you on the next one.